The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Time for an update from Rome Resources. The company's busily working away on its busy North Tin and Copper project in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Paul Barrett is the chief executive, and he joins us now. Hello to you, Paul. How are you?
I'm still very well, thanks. Yes, we're doing quite well at the moment, drilling away.
Yes, how's it going? So you're drilling at Kalai. Let's talk about that first, going a bit deeper.
That's right. So as we've advised previously, we're taking the holes deeper and into hopefully the wider intercepts. We've already got the high grade. So we're just targeting down at the depth. So we're on our second and third hole. The first one, as we announced, had a 6 meter interval that the handheld XRF showed us 1.5-2% kind of average. Well, obviously we'll know the real numbers later on, but it's pretty encouraging that the tin zone is down there, and at 6 meter widths it's pretty reasonable. So we're now drilling these deeper holes. We're at about 50 meters on one, about 150 meters on the other. So steady progress. And then once we've drilled a couple more holes, we'll start again on Montagoma. At the moment, the both rigs are on Kalai.
Yeah, so let's stick with Kalai just for a second before we move on to just talking about what's on offer at Montagoma. So when you're talking about deep drilling in this context, what are you talking about, Paul? How many meters do you hope to get down to?
Yes, I mean, it's all relative. Actually, by mining standards, it's not very deep at all. I mean, we're talking about 250, maximum 300 meters. So these will be testing that pretty much the top part of the sequence. I mean, we know that Helen Alpha Minnow mining down at 600 meters. So we're really at the top part of this unit. And if the holes show that the model's correct, then, you know, at a later stage, we can go even deeper. But if this is successful with Kalai, that will really increase the resource numbers from what we had previously.
Yes, I mean, you alluded to it a second ago, but the thinking is that the deposit will be richer at depth, isn't it?
It's more wider intercepts. I mean, that's what I often see at their mine. You get a number of stringy but high-grade intercepts in the shallow, and as you go deeper towards the granite, these widen up. They stay the same kind of grade, which is a pretty good grade to start with. So, yes, it's a matter of looking for the widths of these intercepts to increase.
And so, talking of resource, what are your expectations here? I mean, you've already put out significant and interesting resource numbers for Busy North as a whole. What do you think this Kalai drilling is going to achieve in terms of adding to the resource?
Well, it's difficult to quantify, but it is, we have in our heads that it would triple the resource in this particular drilling program. But, you know, that's a projection rather than anything we can lay our hands on. But certainly if the widths increase, then that has an exponential increase on the volumes. At the moment, because the widths in the shallow section, although high grade, they're quite narrow. So the resource numbers are relatively modest. And so increases in width will have a massive impact on the numbers going forward, but it's impossible to quantify right now.
I mean, a tripling of the resource sounds like a great aspiration to have. And obviously, there'll be a serious impact on the potential economics of any project as well, if you can deliver that kind of result.
Well, I think the economics are interesting because it's so shallow, it's so close to an existing tin processing plant, so that the economics are really quite benign in terms of having even relatively small volumes will be economic because of the small distances to the Alpha Min facility. So, yeah, I mean, we're looking obviously for as much as we can get, but we don't need a really high standalone resource number to make it very, very commercially attractive.
So you've got two rigs at Kalai at the moment, as I understand it, and you're going to move on to Montagoma sort of in due course. What's going to happen there?
Well, we drilled one hole, which is more of a kind of a structural test. So we, you know, it's steeply dipping. It's quite complicated structurally. So we drilled a shallow hole just to understand the dip, etc. We will move there. There is a rig there, actually, which is waiting on a crew. And we should be able to use that rig. I'm not 100% confident. We may have to move the rigs back from Kalai, but we will be drilling two or three quite deep holes, again, you know, 300 meters into the main Montagoma zone, and also again testing that eastern zone a bit. We're looking at we got Paul Armitage, our consultant geologist, is on site at the moment, so we're looking at basically not revising the model, but fine tuning the model so that we can be most efficient in drilling these holes in terms of location, orientation, and dip. So, yeah, we'll get to that after Kalai, I suspect. After where are we now? Towards the end of January, probably in 3-4 weeks' time, we'll be concentrating more on Montagoma, having done the Kalai holes.
And do you think you'll be putting out more XRF results before the actual assays are released?
Yes, as and when they come. I mean, they're always caveated, of course, that they're not to be relied on too much, but they are a very good indication that the mineralization is there. So yes, that we're keen to kind of keep putting out whatever we find. We'll put out as soon as we can.
I mean, I think it's sort of recognized that XRF is a good guide, really, isn't it? Rather than a sort of a proven information, it's more of a guide to what may be forthcoming in the actual assays.
Well, I mean, there's two ways of doing, you know, the very basic way of doing it is pointing the XRF at a particular point on the core and seeing what's there. And it's almost in a way of indication that you're seeing cassiterite, and that's exactly what it is. But what we do is when we get the cores back to the core shed at the site, we'll cut a groove in the core and then pulp an average, so you get an average over, and that those numbers, once they're done, they're pretty accurate in terms of what you would then see with the assays. And so, I think we've got a pretty good handle on what we're seeing before they go to the lab.
Right, a reasonable level of confidence. Now, let's talk about the broader picture then, the commodity mix which you have at Busy North. So it's primarily a tin project, I think it's fair to say, but you've got a significant amount of copper too. And, you know, the prices of both these metals have been showing some real sparkle over the last couple of months, Paul. So how does that sort of affect your outlook in terms of the future of these projects and your
Well, outlook? Yes, that's right. I mean, the thing is that Kalai is pure tin, so it will feed straight through to, for example, the Alphamin facility without much problem, without any metallurgical issues. And so that's one route for Kalai. And it's Montagoma, as you say, it's got a lot of copper, a lot of zinc as well. And we're talking to potential zinc off-takers as well, because although zinc is not such a, you know, high-priced commodity, there is a lot of it. And so we are looking at that, and that hosts the silver as well, so which is also very useful. So, but Montagoma will be slightly more complicated insofar as we will remove the copper as effectively as the overburden to get to the tin. So we have to monetize that. And this is where we talk to different people, to Alphamin IRH, people who might be more interested in the copper space in DRC. So there's probably two ways that we will eventually commercialize this, and it's through two different routes. But yes, the copper is, although it's, well, of course it changes from day to day, but it's probably about four times lower per ton cost or value than tin, but there's a lot more of it. Yeah.
So talking of these metals and mining them, I believe you've got some metallurgical results due out in the near future. Tell us a little bit about what you're expecting.
That's right. So we sent some big samples to SGS in Ontario to look at both. Well, firstly, the mineralogy, to look at what we're seeing in terms of the sulfide deposit and then the cassiterite. So we've sent samples, and they worked on them in terms of from the copper zone, the zinc zone, and the tin copper zone. And we do, the results have been relayed through to our consultant, and he'll review those, and we should hope to get the results. I think they should be pretty positive in terms of the next step, in terms of understanding how the process will work in extracting and monetizing all these commodities. So we'd hope to announce that next week or early the following week.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting announcement, a bit more of an insight into how the project's going to fit together. So perhaps, to close this out, Paul, you could just recap for us what the news flow is going to look like over the coming months. We've covered off most of the items, I think, but perhaps we could have a little bullet point summary from you just to sort of put it all in one little neat area.
Yeah, that's right. So the drilling continues, and the drilling will continue through into March. I'm pretty sure we should wrap up by the end of March. And the assays are always about a month behind. So the news flow will be based on what we're seeing at the well site for the next couple of months, and then on to the assays. And then hopefully by something like the end of May, we'll look at updating the resource numbers and put that out. That'll be an important one. And as you mentioned, in the meantime, we'll relay what the metallurgy is telling us in terms of the deposit as a whole. So, yeah, it's quite a lot going on. Hopefully, it'll keep investors happy.
Indeed, a lot to look forward to in the first half of 2026. So, Paul Barrett from Rome Resources, thank you very much for talking us through all that today.
Thanks, Alistair.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.